Welcome back, guys. DG, SNK, MOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Gorgeous fall day out there. What we've been waiting for, at least what I've been waiting for. Every Tuesday at 4, we do the Think Tank. We have a stable of people we like to use. Today is St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, Representative Ian Mackey. And let's start what we were just talking about, that we're all lawyers. And Ian was saying, like, oh, kind of miss practicing law now and then. Maybe want to use that degree. And both Steve and I are like, go away from the light.
Run
away from the light.
Something I hear a lot.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
What do you miss about it?
I didn't really get an opportunity to practice much. I joined the bar the same year that I started my campaign in 2017. My first election was in 2018. So I spent just around a year working for a civil firm here downtown, which was a lot of fun. I learned a lot along the way. I didn't actually get to stand up and practice any of the courtroom, you know, drama that I brought me to law school. You know, yeah. I was mostly doing the paperwork that was getting those folks to court. But, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I have it. So I feel like I should use it. And
it's one of the lies about being a lawyer, I found, is unless you are like a public defender or a prosecutor where you're in court every day, mm-hmm. that I was at a big litigation firm and tried few cases. I mean, it takes years to get them to trial, which I thought, I came from the L.A. law era, so I thought you met your client in the morning, tried a case in the afternoon, and went out for drinks in the evening. Like, I didn't realize it took 3-4 years to get a case to trial.
Oh, yeah, forever. Yeah, and I'll just give a shout-out. You probably know Debbie Champion.
Sure do.
Yeah, so she was amazing. She was a great mentor.
Love Debbie.
Amazing person. So,
isn't that fun?
Yeah, just kind of want to go back and, you know, have some fun.
Yeah, known Debbie since law school.
Yeah.
Are you on the lawyer committees at Jeff City?
I have been on and off the Judiciary Committee. I was on it for 4 years. I'm not on it currently. I'm on general laws, though, which is kind of functions a similar way. So, yeah.
Well, see, I started practicing, was only practicing a couple of years when I decided to get into politics. Went to Jeff City, was in the House, was on the lawyer committee. Said, I can start naming you some of the people that I serve with who've gone on to be federal judges and U.S. senators and everything else. So, I looked at them and I thought I was probably a pretty average lawyer, but if I worked hard, I could maybe be better someday. And then I became a judge, okay? And only after I became a judge did I realize what a good lawyer I was.
Interesting. Mm.
When I start seeing all the lawyers coming in front of me and not just the people on the Judiciary Committee.
Right. That's a small sample. That's a very specific sample, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tried a case one time in front of a judge I really liked. And he called me into chambers afterwards, and he said, I'll bet you did really well in lawyer competitions at Wash U, didn't you? And I'm like, full of myself. I'm like, order the barrister, sir. And he goes, that's great. Congratulations. You don't know anything about trying a case. But he meant it. It was very helpful. He's like, here's what you need to do. And he gave me some pointers. He said, you need to come and watch some trials. Watch this guy. Watch this lady. Because it's not like television.
Right.
You know, I bet you saw some horrific things when you were on the bench.
I saw some very good lawyers and some very not good
lawyers.
Did
it try your patience?
At times it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone ever really try to take you on?
No. No, but I was only there 3 years.
Yeah.
I didn't give them too many chances.
Yeah. I bet it was tough to, like, hold people in contempt and send them away. That would keep me up at night.
Yeah. I had some tough cases. It was easier. It was easier when you're associate judge because the limits on penalties are relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lose any sleep. But when you become a circuit judge and you start having to make decisions about how long somebody should stay in jail and whatever, there was some nights I had a hard time falling asleep.
Could you talk it over with your wife, or is that a breach of ethics?
It would be a breach if you got into the specifics.
Yeah.
But, she certainly could understand when something was bothering me, and she usually figured out what it was.
Yeah. Could you talk it over with other judges?
You could, but generally, that's one of the things I didn't like about being a judge. There wasn't much camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Everybody was sort of there. They had their own courtroom. You didn't have much the kind of give and take you did, like in the legislative process,
mm-hmm.
where you were constantly talking to your colleagues one way or the other, either on the floor or in an office. And I kind of missed that kind of camaraderie.
Sure.
And, I decided I gave up 5 years on a 6-year term as a circuit judge. And I had all kinds of reasons I gave people. And one of the other judges finally told me one day, he said, Steve, why don't you just admit it? You'd still rather be a player than an umpire.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that is a good way to look at it.
So anyway, I've had a chance to be a player for the last 18 years.
Yeah. So what do you want to do next when your term runs out?
Some of the, you know, if I had a really good hobby, I would have probably retired a long time ago. But, you know, the hobbies I do have, I love Cardinal baseball. I'll probably go to a few more games. I love history and Missouri history particularly. I've written some things already, and I'll probably write some more. And, you know, hopefully I'll be the old sage.
Yeah.
You know, sit in my rocking chair. Sit in my rocking chair on my porch, and young people like you will come and ask for my advice on things.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hold my breath.
Haven't seen Ian in a while. So, Ian, you are serving on an interesting committee, subcommittee?
Yeah, well, it's an interim committee that met today in St. Charles County, actually, to discuss the issue around toxic waste, nuclear waste, that we all know is under our soil in Missouri and several places, more places than I realized, several spots. We're familiar, at least I was, with Westlake Landfill, mostly through news reports. You know, I don't have any specialized knowledge on this issue. I don't have any more knowledge than folks who consume it as I do from news reports. But we had, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Health and Senior Services, and then several experts who have been personally affected by it, folks who worked at the landfills, folks who live near them, just presenting, you know, the data and statistics that I think we're all familiar with, the, you know, just astronomical cancer rates, highly concentrated in a very small geographic area, that's pretty clearly a result of this toxic waste being left there and moving and shifting over time in ways it wasn't supposed to, not being properly maintained over decades the way it was supposed to. And, you know, I think it's back in the news because there was such a push to include Missouri with the payments that the federal government's been giving to so many other folks in other parts of the country that have been affected by this, and we seem to be getting closer and closer to that happening, and so it's brought it back to the forefront. Most of these folks have been in D.C. lobbying, and that's where a lot of the financial help and assistance is coming from, but we're just trying to figure out what we can do at the state level. Is there a way that we can put pressure on our federal counterparts to do something? Is there a way that we can facilitate these payments? Is there a way that we can you know, request certain services from, is there somebody at the federal government we haven't tapped into, resources we haven't explored yet? Like, you know, we're just trying to ask more questions right now than get answers. But
does anyone in the room know, I don't, how all of this ended up in Missouri as opposed to like the middle of Wyoming or Idaho or something like that, which would have made more sense?
It's out there too. It's all over. I don't know specifically how, you know, what's here ended up here. But it's all over from here to the West Coast.
Well, we had the ordnance plant that was built in 1940, even before we got into the war. And it, of course, made TNT during the war. And then after the war, you know, they tried to find somebody to move in there. And the people, I think it was it Mollenkraut Chemical?
Yeah.
That moved in, and they got involved in this whole atomic energy situation. And they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars out in Weldon Springs trying to clean that up. But, of course, they move some of the stuff. And that's some of that is supposedly in Westlake and
Coldwater Creek.
Coldwater Creek and other places. And, you know, this is the sort of thing. It seems to come up every 5 to 10 years. And there's a lot of interest in it, and then it gets back to the federal government having to do something, and so far they just have not.
Yeah. It's the biggest beast to move. It's to, you know, it's 50 states. There's 300 million people. You know,
like turning around an aircraft carrier.
Right. You got
takes
a handful
a long
of folks
time.
Who, you know, are having a hard time and struggling who do need help. But you know, that's it's. We need more voices, more folks have to
do it. The last time it really came up, actually went to a meeting, and of course, Westlake is right across the Missouri River from city of St. Charles. Mm-hmm. And at this meeting, they showed us, somebody had taken a map and drawn some concentric circles around it and sort of identified the areas that would be most at risk if something serious happened. And I noticed that that my office on 3rd Street up on the hill in the old courthouse in St. Charles, we were in the danger zone, which I think went all the way to like 4th Street, and we were on 3rd Street. So that certainly got my attention. But, you know, we've been involved. Our EMA, of course, is very interested in understanding whatever it is could possibly go wrong there and how we would respond in an emergency. And obviously, our health department has the same sort of interest. But in the end, it's the science is pretty much it's out there, and it's kind of it's the feds who are going to have to tell us what what needs to be done and hopefully do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wheels, you had a question for Steve?
No. We talked.
Oh, you guys talked?
It was another major.
Yeah.
Library
was
stuff.
Was it relationship advice again?
Just library stuff. Yeah,
he's
that
always
too.
Asking
well,
us
well, you know, I was asking
advice.
Him about how I could dunk a basketball.
Oh, yeah, there
and
you
he's,
go.
And he's like, you're too small.
Did he have any help?
You're too small and heavy. It's not going
to
happen.
I told him I used to know, but I've forgotten. A long time ago.
I don't think I've even touched the rim.
Oh, I could do that.
And I was a jumper.
I could do that back in the day.
Of course you could.
I had a very narrow window between the time I was strong enough to dunk it.
And tall enough?
And thin enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very dense. I'm like made of pudding or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, he asked me about the library, and I assured him I've made all my appointments to the library board. So if you got a gripe, it's with Mayor.
Yeah,
Dan.
it was less an inquisition and more like I don't understand this stuff.
Yeah, that really kind of came out of nowhere and hit with a thud, didn't it?
What's that?
All the library stuff.
It's always weird.
Like, hey, by the way, we're shutting it all down. Thanks.
Yeah, and I was just asking him, like, okay, apparently they haven't had a quorum to vote on. Like employee raises, and they keep putting it off month after month after month after month. And turns out there's a couple spots that haven't been appointed. Mayor going to do that. And I don't understand any of it. Mm-hmm. I learn a little bit of it. My wife works there. So mm-hmm. I hear the employees are like, we don't understand it. We don't know what's happening or why it's not happening.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go tonight.
Good for you.
You know, the mayor may have appointed him and the council just hadn't approved him.
No, I know. That's what I mean. I don't understand any of it. I don't understand why there aren't enough people there to vote when they need to vote. I don't understand.
Would anything compel you to speak?
I don't know. I might do something for a person who can't be there. Read something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Depends on if they make me mad. No.
Yeah, then you'll be speaking. Welcome back, guys. DGS 423. Steve Ellman and Ian Mackey are here. So let's do this. I think it'll be interesting for me. I know what you guys do for a living, but I don't know what it's like to be you guys and what your job is like on a daily basis. Like, Ian, you first. Like, what's it like to be a rep?
Well, it's different. Obviously, when we're in session and not in session, but even when we're in session, it's different every day, which is actually what I like the most about it, is it's chaotic, it's unpredictable, and it's really... there's a lot of liberty involved. There's a lot of choices that you get to make on your own in terms of who you're going to talk to that day, what you're going to talk about, what problems are you going to try to solve? What problems are you going to wait for another day? You know, the hearing that popped up kind of out of nowhere on my radar today. I mean, it's not something I asked to do, but when I was asked to do it, to be on the committee, I said, sure, yeah, I'll go do that. And listening to that information, delving in on that issue, and then looking at my Republican colleagues sitting next to me and saying, hey, about that bill we worked on last year, we're going to do that again this year, right? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Well, let's tackle that issue, too. And, you know, some days it's full of, you know, once in a while it's full of blood, sweat, and tears and getting really pissed off and, you know, thinking that, you know, the whole world's falling apart and this person on the other side is its cause and reason for that. But then 80% of the time it's putting that aside, compartmentalizing, working on something that that most folks agree is a good idea, just trying to figure out how to get it done, and that's the process.
But Representative, it's a part-time job.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. And it really is. I mean, you can stretch it and, you know, whatever.
It's paid like a part-time job.
And it certainly is. And, you know, that's January through May. You know, the rest of the year for me is frankly campaigning. That's what I spend most of my time doing. I just got back from Kansas City this afternoon and just in time, well, I was a little bit late to the hearing, but due to several issues, but coming back from Kansas City, I just spent 2 days over there canvassing and campaigning for colleagues of mine, folks mm-hmm. who are in tough re-elections, mm-hmm. You know, getting signs together for folks and going to events and stumping for people and doing all that kind of stuff is what I love doing. So
yeah,
that's how I spend most of the other time. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I did it before this. I mean, I managed my predecessor's campaign for this office and other folks who are running for office, you know, and putting meal plans together and contacting voters. I've always loved doing that.
Interesting. Steve, yeah. How about you? What's it like to be the county executive?
Just a comment on being in the legislature. When I started off and I was in the House, you know, I could still practice law.
Right.
I mean, it was a part-time job, but it didn't took maybe half my time.
Sure.
Okay. But then later on, I got in leadership, and I end up was spending all the time, 80% of my time doing the job that paid $30,000 a year,
right.
Okay,
yep,
and trying to support a family. That's the reason I left. I wasn't term limited. I just had to get back and help raise my family and make some and support my family.
It's a reason why a lot of people don't run.
It's a reason it's hard to find people that they can run. You have to have the right kind of job.
Yeah.
So in the sense that my job now, at least I don't have to worry about putting food on the table, is far superior. And I also kiddingly tell people that I've been in all three branches of government, and I like the executive branch best, because you can pretty much do whatever you want until a judge tells you to stop.
That's interesting.
And to get a judge to tell you to stop these days is a very long, involved, and expensive process. Mm-hmm. So I like being able to be in a position where you can actually throw things out there and make a difference. And if you got to go to court and defend yourself, that's what you do.
Yeah. There are always misunderstandings when people come after you guys. You're the worst this, you're the worst that. Let me personalize it. There are people who complain about the show, a joke I'll make, and I'll go, "You're absolutely right. Let me apologize for that on the air." Most of the time, they didn't hear it right. Mm-hmm. Do you find the same thing with your job, that if they really knew what they were talking about, they would understand your position a little better?
I think so. And I mean, so much the criticism that I think bugs us more than what it would be on policy or what we said or how we said it is just sort of the expectation that we'll be everywhere all the time, expectation that, you know, but then also combined with don't bother me at my door at dinner time or call me and ask me for things, including my vote. So it's, you know, people just don't like politics. The vast majority of people just don't like it, but feel a need to interact with it, have to interact with it, have to rely on it. And that friction becomes really frustrating. Why do I never hear from you? And you say, well, I knocked on your door. And you could show, I mean, I've had that happen where I pulled out my phone, I've looked him up, and I said,
"You live here."
I knocked on your door 6 times, and I'm pretty sure a couple of those times you were home and didn't answer.
Really interesting.
Oh, okay.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it. Nice.